Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you at this time, on this moment's hour, that we would truly humble our hearts before you and give thanks and praise to your holy name, Father, for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous light. We ask, Father, that you would touch our hearts and our minds and that you would cause each one of us to seek your face and to yield to you and your word, Father, that your word might have free course in us and that it might cause us to do that which is right in your sight. Help us, Father, to yield. We know that we're simply sinful flesh, and the only reason that you have anything to do with us is because we've accepted the sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And we ask, Father, that his blood would cleanse all our sins, because you've promised us in your word that it would. So help us, Father, to be faithful in seeking your face and doing that which is right in your sight. We ask that you would touch the hearts and the bodies of those that are on the prayer list that have a petition before you, Father. Some who are very desperate for healing, and some who are just desperate, Father, to be in your presence. So we ask, Father, that your will be done in each and every one of our lives. We know that you know what's best for each and every one of us. And we thank you, Father, for what you've done for us, your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And again, open our hearts and minds that we will receive the implanted word that you prepared for us this day. So in Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. This message is entitled The Royal Law. We are called to bear one another's burdens through love, which is the bond of perfectness. For our opening passage of Scripture, we're going to start in John chapter 13. And if you'll turn with me to John chapter 13, I'm going to read a couple of verses. That's John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So Yahshua is telling us, he's given us a new commandment that we should love one another. And, you know, I think we take a lot of this for granted when we hear these words, because we assume, you know, that we love our relatives, we love the people who are closest to us. But he tells us here to love one another. It's a new commandment, that you also love one another. And I believe that what Yahshua is telling us to do is to go beyond those immediate people in our families, our neighbors, the ones that we hold dear and close to us. Verse 35, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And that's important. That's very important, because he's saying that if you have this love one for another, then you are going to be my disciples. Now, the average person say, well, you know, I do love the people, you know, who are closest to me. But I believe Yahshua is telling us to go beyond that. He's telling us to love even the unlovely. He's telling us to love our enemies, because he's saying that if we're going to be his disciples, we have to go beyond that. See, we have to follow the royal law. And that's the law of love. And it's a lot deeper than most people think. See, because most people are pretty superficial. You know, very few people can go deeper. And I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying most people don't. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. I want you to turn there, and we're going to read this, because this will help us to understand what Yahshua was trying to get us to see. In verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." See, love is the glue, is the key to making all these things work. "And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burnt, but have not love, it gains me nothing." Love has to be there, brother. Which means you have to put yourself aside. And that's why giving is so important as far as love is concerned. See? "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love vaunts not itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not its own. Is not provoked. Takes no account of evil." Evil can't affect love. "Rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth." Love rejoices with the truth. We believe we have the truth, brother. Which means we have to have love as well. "It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. And when we were children, we had limited knowledge. We still, even as adults, today have limited knowledge." Okay? We have more knowledge than our children. "But we're blind to certain things, just like the children are blind to certain things. They believe they know so much, especially the 7, 8-year-olds. Even the 2-year-olds believe they know a lot, but you know, as they grow older, they realize they don't know. But none of us don't know that we don't know. You know, when you're ignorant of certain things, you just don't have that knowledge. And until it's revealed to you and you're no longer blinded to that, are your eyes open? Remember the series on Connected to the Source where Satan told Eve, your eyes are going to be open. See, and Yahweh didn't want you to have that knowledge. And their eyes were open after they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they were not supposed to. But they were open to a knowledge that Yahweh didn't want them to have, because it was a knowledge of evil. See? And it has affected every generation since. But the knowledge that Yahweh wants us to have is the knowledge of love. He wants us to know how to treat our neighbor, how to treat even our enemy. It says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known." Yahshua has given us, through his sacrifice, through his love, the ability to see and do things that we would not have been able to do without coming to the knowledge of Yahshua the Messiah. Think about that, brother. We have a knowledge today that we didn't have before we knew Yahshua. Verse 13 says, but now these three live, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. That's very important for us to know. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. It says, owe no man anything save to love one another. But he that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law, the royal law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the royal law. Because you see the royal law given here, it may not show you all of them, but it's talking about the Ten Commandments. Okay? Love works no ill to his neighbor. See, so if we have the love of Yahweh, following Yahshua's footsteps, we're not going to do anything ill to any of our neighbors, even our enemies, because love works no ill. We're going to be faithful in following the practice that was given to us by Yahshua the Messiah. When Peter cut off the ear of the high priest, Yahshua told him, put the sword away. See? He said if he wanted to fight, he could have called legions of angels to come down and fight for him. But that wasn't the purpose of Yahshua being here. He didn't come as a reigning king. He came as a suffering servant. He came to serve us. And that's something we have to learn, brother. We have to learn to serve one another. We have to learn to follow in Yahshua's footsteps, as he showed us in John 13 with the foot washing service. Turn to Jacob chapter 2, or James chapter 2, depending on the version you have. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, my brethren, hold not the faith of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, the Sovereign of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your synagogue a man with a gold ring and fine clothing, and there also come in also a poor man in vile clothing, and you have regard to him that wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit under my footstool. Do you not make distinctions among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, did Yahweh not choose them that are poor of the world, rich in faith, heirs to the kingdom, which he promised to them that love him? And today, I can name a lot of people that fall into that category who are poor, but rich in faith, beginning with our brethren in Kenya, as well as some of the brethren in Trinidad and other places. Like I said, we received a letter from a pastor in the Philippines this past week. And, you know, he wants to be a part of YPTC. Yahweh is opening the door today, brethren. He's calling the people throughout this world who are rich in faith, who love one another, who are willing to show love. You know, and people can say, well, you know, we're here in the United States. Yeah, we're a rich country. But it seems like the faith is lacking here. The zeal is lacking. I'm not talking about among the brethren that are faithful with YPTC and preaching to the choir. But I'm talking about people who believe they have it made here in this country, yet they lack the knowledge of Yahshua the Messiah. See? they believe religion is just, you know, not something that they really need. And it's going to become increasingly important in the next few months as you see more and more people who are in fear of these predictions of the end of the age. We know it's not going to end this year because of prophecy, what has been taught. There's so many other things that have to happen, you know, with the rebuilding of the temple and, you know, so many other things that have to be put in place. But there will be catastrophes. There will be the 3.5 years coming very soon of tribulation. See? But before these things happen, Yahweh has to prepare the people. He has to have his 144,000 sealed. He's going to have it happen that day, right before it happens. You know, when this thing gets ready to blow off, the trumpet is about to sound, his people are going to be taken care of. See? But our job is to educate them right now. Our job is to teach them. He said in John, which we use as our mission statement about feeding his lambs and feeding his sheep. And this is what YPTC is all about. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to fulfill the Great Commission. So back to the text. It says, listen in verse 5, my beloved brethren, did Yahweh not choose them that are poor of the world, rich in faith, and heirs to the kingdom which he promised to them that love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Don't the rich oppress you and themselves drag you before the judgment seats, before the courts? Don't they blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? However, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. And that's what we want to do, brethren. We want to fulfill that royal law. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin, being convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he becomes guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if you do not commit adultery but kill, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as men that are judged by a law of liberty. For the judgment without mercy is to him that has showed no mercy. Mercy glories against judgment. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Start in verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and a loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. Yahweh is the maker of them all. So we can't accept rich folk and then reject poor, or accept poor and reject the rich. Yahweh is the maker of them all, brethren. See? But that good name that we're choosing is the name of Yahweh. Yahweh is our creator. He's the one that's given us the ability to love. Verse 3, it says, a prudent man sees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and suffer for it. The reward of humility and the fear of Yahweh is riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He that keeps his soul shall be far from them, from the thorns and the snares, from those issues of life. The rich rules over the poor, and the bar is servant to the lender. He that sows iniquity shall reap calamity, and the rod of his wrath shall fail. He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. And this is what Yahweh wants us to do. If it's within your ability to help someone that's in need, help them if you have it within your ability. Second Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of Yahweh which has been given in the assemblies of Macedonia, how that in much proof of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty increased to the riches of their liberality, for according to their power I bear witness, yes, and beyond their power, they gave of their own accord, beseeching us with much entreaty in regard of this grace and the fellowship in the ministering to the saints. And this, not as we had hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Master, which each of us have done, that have accepted Yahshua's shed blood and been baptized." Okay. It says, "And to us through the will of Yahweh, insomuch that we exhorted Titus that as he had made a beginning before, so he also complete in you this grace. But as you abound in everything in faith, and utterance and knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in your love to us. See that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by way of commandment, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity also of your love. For you know the grace of our Master Yahshua the Messiah, that through though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." See? He reversed things, "that you through his poverty might become rich. And we have become rich through the grace of Yahshua the Messiah, through his shed blood. And in this I give my judgment, for this is expedient for you, who were the first to make a beginning a year ago, not only to do, but also the will, but now complete the doing also, that as there was the readiness to will, so there may be the completion also out of your ability. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according as a man has, not according as he is not. For not that the others may be eased and you distressed, but by equality, your abundance being a supply at this present time for their want, that their abundance may also become a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that has gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. The brethren in Macedonia wanted to give to the brethren in Jerusalem who were suffering. There was a drought in Jerusalem. It's like there's a drought here in America. Okay? Even though we've received a lot of rain here in the east, majority of this country has been in a drought condition. They say the corn crop is going to affect, because of the ethanol in the gas, it's affecting that. It's a ripple effect. So our gas prices are going up. But what I'm saying is that this is the richest country in the world, yet we're suffering spiritually. Even though there are many churches here, there are many people of faith here, we're suffering, see? But those who are in the poor areas, the third world countries, who are rich in faith, they don't have the resources we have, okay? But they're rich in faith. Verse 16, "But thanks be to Elohim who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he indeed accepted our exhortation, but being himself very earnest, he went forth unto you of his own accord. And we have sent together with him the brother whose praise in the good tidings is spread throughout all the assemblies. And not only so, but who was also appointed by the assemblies to travel with us in the matter of this grace, which is ministered by us to the glory of Yahweh, to show our readiness, avoiding this, that any man should blame us in the manner of this bounty, which is ministered by us, for we take thought for the honorable things, not only in the sight of Yahweh, but also in the sight of men. And we have set with them our brother, whom we have many times proved earnest in many things, but now much more earnest, by reason of the great confidence which he has in you. Whether any inquire about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker towards you, or our brethren. They are the messengers of the assemblies. They are the glory of the Messiah. Show yourselves, therefore, to them in the face of the assemblies, to the proof of your love and of our glorians on your behalf. Paul was trying to get these brethren to understand certain things. And what he was trying to get them to understand is that their love was being manifested in the gifts that they were collecting for the saints at Jerusalem. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'll continue the story. See, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order to the assemblies of Galatia, you do so also. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. And when I arrive, whomever you shall approve, them I will send with letters to carry your bounty to Jerusalem. So what Paul was doing is they would appoint people after they made their collection, and that person, because they didn't have the postal system we have today or whatever, and they could put money in the mail or whatever, they would, whatever they collected, whatever the bounty was that they collected for the saints at Jerusalem, they would take that person, and when Paul got there, he would send that person on to Jerusalem with their bounty to bless the brethren there. And it says in verse 4, and if it be worthy for me to go also, they shall go with me. But I will come to you when I have passed through Macedonia. For I passed through Macedonia, but with you it may be that I shall remain, or even winter, that you may set me forward on my journey whenever I go. And when you realize what was done, see, Yahshua, when he sent his disciples out, he sent them out with no wallets, didn't have them take two coats or anything. He sent them pretty much with nothing and told them, wherever you go, that's where you lodge. And you, you know, are preaching the good tidings and of the kingdom there, okay? And they'll take care of you. And that's what happened when he sent the 70 out. See? Gave them authority over demons and to heal the sick. He gave them power from on high. Okay? And he's sending us out in these last days as well, brethren, to do this work, to preach this message of love to all those who are seeking to be a part of the Savior, a part of the kingdom of Yahweh, soon to come upon this earth. Verse 7, he says, for I do not wish to see you now by the way, for I hope to stay a while with you, if Yahweh permit. But I will stay at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effect has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And I'm telling you today, brethren, that the door is open. Yahweh has set the word forth, and people are responding. From India, from the Philippines, from not only Trinidad and Africa and different places, but what I'm saying is that Yahweh is going to open this door, and we got to walk through it. See? He's going to send the people as well to do the work. But this is why we have to be in unity. This is why we have to have the love of the Messiah first and foremost in our lives, because this is not about egos or people. This is about the work of Yahweh, the royal law. Verse 10, it says, "Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without fear, for he works the work of Yahweh, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but set him forward on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. But as touching Apollos, the brother, I entreated him much to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his will to come now, but he will come when he shall have the opportunity." When I was in Trinidad this past week, speaking to the brethren there, we were talking about the ministry. One of the things that impressed me the most about the men there, Quincy George as well as Yaboni, they said they wanted to go to Africa. They want to help with the work. They weren't even asked, but they volunteered themselves to go forth and help with the work. They know they have a lot of work to do right there in the islands. Trinidad was the headquarters assembly, you know, in our former affiliation, and they do have a large group of people there throughout the islands. But there are many people who have fallen away from that organization. There are many people who have gone back into the world. There are some that are out there looking for the faith. They're looking for something better because they've become very, very discontent with what was going on with our former affiliation. But I'm telling you, Yahweh is the one that's opening these doors. He's the one that's touching the hearts of the people. And that's where our love has to come through. Because when we think about what Yahweh wants us to do, it's his will that we're trying to accomplish, not our own.
Conference muted.
Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be manly. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. You see, Paul is trying to touch the hearts of the brethren. He's trying to touch the hearts of each and every one of them, wherever he goes, so that they would understand that it's not about them. See, it's about our service. We're going to be just like Yahshua the Messiah. We're going to be servants so that this work can grow and prosper. Now in verse 15 it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have set themselves to minister to the saints, that you also be in subjection to such, and to everyone that helps in the work and labors. And I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they supplied." See, they were working together. They were all giving to the work that it would grow. "But they refresh my spirit and yours. Acknowledge therefore them that are such." The word of Yahweh is powerful, brethren. And when we understand the royal law and what Yahweh wants us to accomplish, we can do great things. Turn back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 1 it says, "For it's touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your readiness, of which I glory on your behalf to them that are of Macedonia, that Achaia has been prepared for the past year, and that your zeal has stirred up very many of them. But I have sent the brethren, that our glorying on your behalf may not be made void in this respect, that even as I said, you may be prepared. lest by any means, if there come with me any of Macedonia and find you unprepared, we, that we say not you, should be put to shame in this confidence. I thought it necessary before, therefore, to entreat the brethren that they would go up before you and make up beforehand your previously promised bounty. And that's what they had done. They promised to send some goods or money or whatever to Jerusalem to help the brethren there, that the same might be ready as a matter of the bounty and not of extortion. And that's not what it's about. This is about the love of Yahweh. And when Yahweh touches our hearts, we're willing to give that extra so that we can see. And I'm not talking about tithes here, brethren. This is not about tithes. This is about a free will offering, just like they gave when they were building the temple. Yet the temple that we're building today is a spiritual temple. Each one of us, a block in that building, which is soon going to be built by Yahshua the Messiah. In verse 6 it says, "But I say, he that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And Yahweh is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever." And that's an act of love. See? When we give that free will offering, it's an act of love. This is not out of your first or second tithe. Even though you can give it out of the second tithe, we give offerings at the feast days for that purpose. In verse 10 it says, "And he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Because there are many out here that need to hear this word. Like I said, whether they're in India or the Philippines or Trinidad or whatever. And when I was there, I found, you know, our government charges $160 for a visa. Okay? U.S. for the people coming from Trinidad to get just their visa. And we're not talking passports. This is visa. Just for them to be able to travel to the U.S. I paid maybe $25 to go to Kenya, visa, U.S. So that $160, their dollars are 6 to 1 U.S. I mean, we're talking a lot of money as far as what the Trinidadians, you know, would have to pay to come to the U.S. So you have to understand that, you know, Satan sets up these roadblocks, and Yahweh has to, he gives us the way around them. And that's what we have to pray for. All, and in verse 10 again, "And he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And you being enriched in everything to all liberality, which works through us as thanksgiving to Yahweh." But this ministration of the service not only fills up the measure of the wants of the saints, but abound also through many thanksgivings to Yahweh, seeing that through the proving of you by this ministration, they glorify Yahweh for the obedience of the Messiah and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they themselves also with supplication on your behalf long after you by reason of your exceeding grace of Yahweh in you. Thanks be to Yahweh for his unspeakable gift. Ministering to the saints, whether they are in Trinidad or Kenya or the Philippines or India or here in the States, Almighty Yahweh will meet all our needs, brethren. The royal law comes from above. It comes from true royalty, from Almighty Yahweh. One of the things that really impressed me about the brethren in Trinidad, too, is that they're working on getting their cell phone upgraded so that they can join us on the phone hookup every Sabbath, so that they can be a part of what we're doing here in YPTC. See? And that, to me, shows that they love Yahweh, that they want to be a part of what we're doing. See? As poor as they may be in what they're doing, they're still trying to do everything they can to be a part of the greater group so that they can, because we were hooked up there and they got to see the brethren and be connected, they want to be connected all the time. And that spoke volumes to me. John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of Yahweh. And everyone that loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. He that loves not knows not Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. And this was the love of Yahweh manifested in us, that Yahweh sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, an atonement for us, because we're sinners, brethren. And his blood is what cleanses and covers our sins. Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has beheld Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, that's our neighbor, that's our enemy, that's everyone. Yahweh lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And he does give his Spirit to them that obey. We know that. In Acts 5:32, he tells us that. And we beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And he's saving everybody that is willing to yield, rich and poor. Whoever shall confess that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim lives in him, and he in Elohim. And we know that we have believed the love which Yahweh has in us. Yahweh is love, and he that lives in love lives in Yahweh, and Yahweh lives in him. And this is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, brethren, but perfect love casts out fear. There's no reason for us to fear. Yahshua has received the victory over Satan already and death. Because fear has punishment. And he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If a man say, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love Yahweh whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves Yahweh loves his brother also. So we know that the royal law is telling us that we have to love our neighbor as ourselves and love our enemy as well. We're going to continue in 1 John chapter 5. Whoever believes that Yahshua is the Messiah is begotten of Yahweh. And whoever loves him that begat him loves him also that is begotten of him. And these people that are begotten of Yahweh, you know, are our neighbors. They are out there as our enemies. And sometimes it's a misunderstanding. You know, and that's why we have to get over things. People have to overcome themselves. See? Because they see people, and they see through not only a glass darkly, but they see through prejudice eyes, you might say. They don't understand that person over there really may not hate them, really might not be their enemy, even though they, you know, may have done something to them, but it may not have been malicious. It could have been a mistake. These things do happen. But the key is that for us to understand, regardless of what has happened, and that's something I know is very, very difficult for people to do, to forgive other people that have, you know, done something to them, but we have to forgive because that forgiveness is for us. It's not for them. It's for us. If you harden yourself, you're going to have bitterness, and that bitterness is going to take you away from Yahweh, and you don't want to be taken away. You want to be in the love of Yahweh all day long, all the time. It says, by this, we know that we love the children of Elohim when we love Yahweh and do His commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments aren't grievous. They're not grievous. For whatever is begotten of Yahweh overcomes the world. And this is what we have to do. We have to have the victory and overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Yahshua is the son of Yahweh? And if you truly say that you believe and you are a son of Yahweh because you believe in Yahshua, you have to forgive. You have to overcome this world, and you have to have love one toward another. You have to believe in the royal law and practice it. This is he that came by water and blood, Yahshua the Messiah. Not only with water only, but with water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood. We have to get that, receive the baptism and receive the Spirit of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, and be covered by the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. And the three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of Yahweh is greater. For the witness of Yahweh is this, that he is born witness concerning his Son. He that believes on the Son of Yahweh has the witness in him. He that does not believe Yahweh has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that Yahweh has borne concerning his Son. And we do believe and bear that witness. And the witness is this, that Yahshua gave to us eternal life. You can't have eternal life, brethren, if you still have grudges, if you still have burdens that, you know, you're carrying. Hate and things of that nature. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has the life. He that has not the Son of Yahweh has not the life. That's important. Verse 13, these things I have written to you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even to you that believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh. And that's why it's so important for us to have that right name. I was witnessing to some people about that name, that Jesus, and showing them that's who they're worshiping, Zeus, the Greek mighty one, not Yahweh. And they actually had some issues there because they didn't know. And their eyes, they felt, were open because they had never heard that before. They had never heard it. See, because the church has taught them to substitute, and that it's okay to believe what they are teaching them. And I told them, read in the preface of your Bible and see how they've taken the sacred names out. But those, that name is important. It's very important for your salvation. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we'll start in verse 1. It says, and at that season, Yahshua went on the Sabbath day through the grain fields, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck ears and to eat. But the Pharisees, when they saw it, said to him, behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of Yahweh the tabernacle in those days, and ate the showbread, which it was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only the priest. For have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? But I say to you that one is greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is master of the Sabbath. They couldn't see it. See, they didn't have the love of Yahweh within themselves. They were going through doing the motions. Felt like they were serving Yahweh. They were perfect. These are the priests. They're following the ritual law. They're following the sacrificial law. They're doing, see, they had an added law, too. They had the Talmud, you know. And they had taken that Talmud and what their fathers had said more importantly than what Yahweh had said in the Torah. Verse 9, and he departed from there and went into the synagogue. And behold, a man having a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They were trying him again, that they might accuse him. See, they didn't have the love of Yahweh in their hearts. They were concerned with themselves. They weren't servants of the people. They were concerned with their own wealth. And he said to them, what man shall there be of you that shall have one sheep, and if this fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man more valued than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. Then says he to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched forth his hand, and it was restored whole as the other. But the Pharisee went out and took counsel against him, how they might destroy him. See, they were upset. See, because they felt he violated the covenant, the royal law, the Sabbath. But he had not violated the Sabbath. He had not violated the royal law. He did that which was right. I had some neighbors when I was in Baltimore that were Seventh-day Adventists, and they were having some issues with their leadership, and they decided, well, they're going to hold their tithes. And what they did is they would go out on the Sabbath and then buy stuff with their tithes money to help the poor, okay? What they failed to realize is that that first tithe was holy to Yahweh, and it was Yahweh's money. What they wanted to do, they could still do. But they should have done with their free will offerings with their money, not Yahweh's money. See, there's a difference, see? Regardless of what problems they had with their leadership, they needed to still tithe. And then they still could have done good on the Sabbath, which they were doing. But, you know, they could have done it a different way. And like I said, they should have done it with their free will offerings, their gifts. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing all meekness toward all men. For we also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of Yahweh our Savior and his love toward man appeared, not by works in righteousness, which we ourselves did, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly, through Yahshua the Messiah, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Faithful is the saying, and concerning these things I desire that you affirm confidently, confidently to the end that they who believed Yahweh may be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. We want to maintain those good works. But you know what? We have to be faithful. The royal law is given for our benefit, brethren. We must think of our neighbor before ourselves, and we will see the blessing of this law working in our lives. Yahshua thought of us before he thought of himself. We must follow in his footsteps, showing love, giving of ourselves, and we will overcome this world by keeping the royal law in our lives. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I didn't want this to be totally an unbalanced, just all New Testament, even though I use Proverbs, but I have a couple of scriptures here to close in Deuteronomy. It says in verse 1, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and to the ordinances which I teach you, to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh, your Elohim, the Elohim of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did because of Baal-peor, for all the men that followed Baal-peor, Yahweh, your Elohim, has destroyed from among you. But you that held fast to Yahweh, the Elohim, your Elohim, are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, even as Yahweh my Elohim commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go in to possess it. Therefore, keep and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, that shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has an Elohim so close to them as Yahweh, our Elohim, is whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law, which I set before you today?" Then turn over to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. We're going to start there in verse 6. It's Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. It says, "I am Yahweh your Elohim, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, Yahweh, Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrong use of the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, but Yahweh will not leave unpunished the man that misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Yahweh, your Elohim, commanded you. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your manservant or your maidservant, your ox or your ass, or any of your cattle, or your stranger that is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. And you shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your Elohim brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your Elohim commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as Yahweh your Elohim commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or his ass, or anything that is your neighbor's. That is the royal law that Almighty Yahweh has given us. And it's from royalty. It's from on high. Each one of us must put this into practice in our lives daily so that we're walking in truth, that we're giving of ourselves as we seek to be more like Yahshua the Messiah, because he gave his life through love for each and every one of us. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Felix Pinero if he would close with a word of prayer. Did unmute. Are you there, Wanda?
Yes, Mr. Davis.
Is Felix available to pray?
He just went upstairs. Let me try and get him. Just a second, let me see.
Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Davis. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, no, he's in the restroom. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. I'll close. Go ahead. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts for your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name again for this Sabbath day and the opportunity for us to come together and to seek your face, Father. We know that it's only through the love of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and your love that you've given us and given us, Yahshua, that we have an opportunity at life eternal. And we want to be a part of your kingdom, Father. So we ask, Father, that you would help us overcome ourselves and Satan the devil as we seek to show that love one toward another, that we want that love to be in our lives, evident to all those that see us that we are your servants and your people. Forgive us again, Father, for our sinful nature and our shortcomings, and we ask, Father, that you would bless this ministry and bless each and every one of your people throughout this world that you're calling into your marvelous light. Help us, Father, that we might be able to give even more to make this ministry grow and prosper in these last days, because we know that, Father, all that we have is a blessing from you, and we want to give all that we have back to you. In Yahshua's holy name we pray, thanking and asking this prayer in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. In his holy name we pray, and thanking you, Father, for all the blessings you've given us. We ask in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.